With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is a crowd podcast. I'm thinking like Beef's Golf Club Dubai, Beef's Golf Club Spain.
It's always food with you, isn't it? When you're out away from golf, it really is just straight to food.
But what are you going to do with thousands of golf clubs?
Golf club toilets can be absolutely grim, let's be honest.
Have you ever filled your bathtub up with mayonnaise before?
You've got nuts, you've got raisins, you've got chocolate.
The first imaginary Royal Golf Club. I'm Andrew Beef Johnston.
And I'm John Robbins.
Welcome to Beef's Golf Club. Yes, mate. What's happening, man?
Good to see you, Beef. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm all right. I mean, I've just got into the golf club, into Beef's Golf Club. It's an absolute tip.
Yes, it is. And I've been thinking, since your dramatic failure to contact Mark Wahlberg to get him on, I'm thinking I've got to pull my finger out and get some top celebs on here, because even though I haven't played much golf over the past 6 months, I have played with some top celebs. I've played with Jodie Kidd. I've played with the BAFE Martin Bayfield, who is about, I think he's 6'9". He is a unit.
Oh, his size, not his handicap.
Oh, no, his hand. I think he plays off around... What's the Bayleaf off? the BAFE Meister General. Martin Bayfield plays off 11.8.
Nice.
So he's really good. He's great fun as well to play with. So we could get them on. Also, I've been playing with Tom Rosenthal, actor and comedian. And Tom has got the fastest swing speed of any non-pro I've played with. But he is a chaotic golfer. I've played a round of 18 holes with Tom where he's got a golf bag that doesn't have a stand on it. So he's played with a cart bag that he's carried. So he puts his bag down. His process is he puts his bag down, takes his club, the bag falls over. He picks up the bag falls over again. So he lies the bag down. He then plays the shot, realized he's used the wrong club, overshoots the green by 20 yards. But in terms of the impact he gets on the ball, he can hit a 6-iron sort of 30 yards further than me. And he's putting with a muddy ball. And you're like, mate, mark your ball, clean the ball, read the putt, place the ball, just get some kind of routine going.
Is it a case of him just really not giving a shit?
It's more that he's got, by his own admission, a very like ADHD brain.
Right, right.
So he's in so many different places at once, but he loves golf. He's so enthusiastic about it. He's definitely a potential golf superstar. So we'll have to get Tom Rosenthal on the podcast.
So you sent me a video of someone at the range, and I've never seen a video quite like it. It's opened up a new world of breaking golf clubs. I've never seen a golf club broken in that way before.
Yeah, that's Tom. So he hits a shot. He's clearly not pleased with the shot and then just wangs his club into the divide. Well, actually onto the shank gong. He actually hits the shank gong with his club, snaps his club. But that's another thing about him. He broke his 5-iron, lost his 7-iron, and instead of replacing them, the next time he's playing, he's like, oh, this would be my 7-iron, but I lost it. And I'm like, yeah, you lost it 3 months ago. You've got to get another one. So infuriating. But great fun. So there's some people we're going to get on, but we've got to get Beef's Golf Club into shape before we invite anyone in here, because it's a disgrace. And we had a question from Sean Dagnall. Sean says, hi, Beef and John. As the summer approaches, I'm reflecting back on an absolutely abysmal few months of weather and having to brave the muddy conditions at my local club in the UK. My question is, can we open other branches of Beef's Golf Club on the other side of the world and arrange for weekly trips for members to play in hotter countries so that we can be spared the misery of winter golf? Well, I hear you there, Sean. The weather, certainly where I've been in Buckinghamshire over the past 3 months, has been dire. It's the course is closing, holes out of use. It's just been, I played at Denham, which is a lovely course, by the way. But one of their holes was out of action due to being waterlogged. Oh, it's no fun, is it?
No, it's got my head thinking though. Has there ever been like a chain of golf courses?
Yeah, loads.
Really?
Yeah.
So usually, really?
Yeah, Trump.
Oh yeah, Trump. I forgot about Trump.
Yeah.
What else? I wasn't thinking like prestigious. I was more thinking about the like architects and players with golf and design. Course designers will have their names to courses. But yeah, that was a really dumb question. But yeah, you generally never have. You would never have like North Middlesex Golf Club. Oh, there's a North Mid in London. There's a North Mid in Scotland. There's a North Mid in Spain.
So you're looking like a sort of McDonald's of golf.
Yeah, maybe slightly higher caliber than McDonald's.
Like Top Golf, but yeah, for golf courses.
Yeah, I'm thinking like Beef's Golf Club Dubai, Beef's Golf Club Spain, like different places, but you know it's Beef's Golf Club. It hasn't got, oh, it's a Marriott Hotel, but this is the Forest of Arden. Oh, that's a Marriott Hotel, but that's the Belfry. They're all Beef's Golf Club.
Okay. And what are people getting? A guarantee of quality?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
What's the familiarity bringing them? Is Spoonie in all the jukeboxes?
Well, it'd just be a slightly different Spoonie, wouldn't it?
A slightly different Spoonie. A forky, a knifey.
Yeah, similar. Still playing music. Might not be Jimmy Anderson behind the bar. We might get Stuart Broad in, I don't know. Or it could be a cricketer from Australia.
Yes.
Pat Cummings could be behind the bar.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Well, we were going to set up some kind of base in Portugal, but then you moved to Singapore, and then you moved to South Africa, and then you moved to goodness knows where else. If you'd sit still for an hour.
So imagine that. If I could just hop along to all these countries, knowing that golf club's there. It's perfect.
Well, Sean, we'll look into it. There's quite a lot of confusion in Beef's Golf Club about how sort of chain golf ownership works. But we will do some research.
I want to walk in and have the same shit in the golf course, knowing that when I turn up, it's slightly different, but it feels the same.
Yeah, I think maybe we're trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist. But we'll find out more. It is an interesting idea.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
Luckily, winter golf is almost over. In fact, most clubs now, once the clocks have gone forward, winter rules will no longer apply, will they? It's usually around this time of year. So we need to get the club up to scratch because people are going to start turning up soon. So what are we going to do? It certainly needs a clean. The mowers are going. Some of the holes are starting to take shape. The greens are being tended to. Have you seen any interesting features on your recent travels you'd like to implement?
I don't know why I never said it last time, but here in Singapore, they have places called hawker centres, where it's like a food court, but they're not just like any food court. The food is amazing, and you can go in and get all different types of Asian cuisine. I want a hawker centre at Beast Golf Club.
A hawker centre. So what would be the sort of equivalent, like a farmer's market?
Like a borough market.
Yeah, like on my road every Sunday, they have people selling local honey, cheeses, burritos, that sort of thing.
No, it's more just dedicated to food. So what they'll do here is some of their famous dishes would be like chicken rice dish, which is incredible, by the way. Then you'll go and get a noodle dish from another place. Then there might be an Indian stand. Or they do these things. It's almost like I'd call it an Indian. They're called curry puffs. It's like a cross between a samosa and a Cornish pasty.
Yeah.
I would say. Incredible. I want a hawker centre in a golf club.
It's always food with you, isn't it? When you're out away from golf, it really is just straight to food.
I just, yeah, it does, gets me.
Oh, what's Beef been up to? Well, he's been cooking and eating.
Yeah, I've seen South Africa. Again, it's it's based around food. But the South Africans love a barbecue. They call it a braai.
A braai.
And I went up to, Milnerton Golf Club one afternoon, and there was some party going on, and they were barbecuing on the patio. I just thought, we don't do that in golf clubs. I want a big communal barbecue in there. That was amazing, by the way. Milnerton, it's one of the very few links golf courses in South Africa. One of the best locations for a clubhouse I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah. Once you go into the clubhouse and out the other side, it's just literally on the sea. View of Table Mountain, amazing beach. It was really cool.
I'm annoyed that in all this time of creating golf content, I've never wangled my way onto like a really fancy exotic course or even a foreign course. I'd love to play by the sea in a hot country. I'd love to play on one of those manicured. That's what I'm after. I want to play on a manicured course. Watch all these Rick Shields videos. I mean, he's probably got the best deal in the world, but God, to play on some of those American courses where it's just all neat, just neatness. That's what I'm after.
I've got another idea that's not food related. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to a golf course where you get paired up with random people?
Yes, I don't like it.
No.
I don't like playing with bigger boys.
No, I think that we should add that to the rule, where if you want to call up and play and there's two of you, I'm not going to force another random two people to come and play golf. I don't get it.
Yeah, we're not going to force you into a four ball at Beef's Golf Club, because always what happens is they end up, two of them go off ahead and two of them play behind anyway, because no one wants to play with strangers and bigger boys. It's too exposing for your game, I think.
Well, that's all my ideas. I'm out, John. I've got no more. I'll be very wary that I'm talking about food again. Have you got any ideas, though? Any upgrades at your course?
They've done a hell of a lot of work on the bunkers and the drainage. And the greens are now pretty lightning quick. But no matter how much work you're doing, if it's absolutely hammering it down and it's muddy, it's just not as fun an experience, is it? But no, they've put in a lot of time and effort at my local course. But what about this from Loving It 5555 on Twitter? There's been a lot of talk previously on this podcast about toilets at golf clubs. Can we install some Japanese style toilets at Beef's Golf Club? Auto flush, bum massage, pulsing water cleanse, heated seats. Nothing comes close to Japanese toilets. It's true, we've never really kitted out the toilets here. I've never experienced a Japanese toilet. I think there's elements of them I would like and elements of them I wouldn't like. You must have used a few Japanese toilets in your time. Talk me through them, because I like the idea of a toilet that plays loud music, but I don't like the idea of a sort of automated bidet arm.
I've sat on a few Japanese toilets. They're incredible. They're incredible, and especially sometimes you walk in to the cubicle area, shut the door, the lid opens itself, you sit down, it's nice and warm. Do you like loud music so it sort of blocks out the noise? Because I always think you should have like soundproofed toilets.
Yeah, so soundproofed at a minimum. My concern is with all of the sort of attachments and arms and sprays in a Japanese toilet, that my experience of golf club toilets is that it's hard enough for grown adults to keep a pretty basic toilet clean. I'm just imagining the amount of surface area of all these extra accoutrements are just going to get absolutely grim. Golf club toilets can be absolutely grim, let's be honest.
Yeah, I think public toilets are pretty grim in general, but maybe this is the way you change it. And like you said, you can go in, they're soundproof, you can do your business, press a couple of buttons where you're not sure what's going to happen, and it'll block out the like that. It'll block out all these noises, and you can feel comfortable in your own space by pressing random buttons, and you don't know what one's going to blow air, what one's going to squirt water up your bum.
I don't know, but I like to be in control. But yeah, I mean, the best toilets I ever had were at Loch Lomond, and they were like something out of a sort of Victorian mansion. I remember beautiful dark green marble, nice sort of wooden seats, just those nice old toilets with a chain, towels, nice hand stuff, everything clean. It was like another world.
Are you not for the Japanese toilet?
No, I'm more really plush Victorian sort of vibe. Solid wooden doors, solid locks, polished brass.
I think we can put in both to suit everyone's needs.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Two toilet sets of toilets, the Japanese and the Victorian British.
I just wouldn't have a Japanese toilet on the golf course because it would slow play up.
Yes, very good point. But we do need toilets on the course.
Yeah, just nice and simple on the course. And then we, you know, if you're four holes left, then you can hang on knowing that your favourite toilet's upstairs in the clubhouse. Perfect.
Yeah, that's one downside of my local club's toilet is that it is just, I mean, there is actually no toilet apart from this sort of abandoned portaloo that is, I think, cleaned once a decade. It's an absolute horror show. I've only been there once, and it was in an extreme moment of crisis. Literally teed off. It's at the back of it's behind a hedge on a par three. Tee off, leg it. I'll see you on the green, guys. But oh no, it's actually worse than having no toilet, I think.
So yeah, loving it. 555. I'm all in, and I think we should design maybe a few different types of toilets so that everyone's happy. But I'm all for a Japanese toilet. How about this from Dave Tucker? Hi, Beefs Golf Club. I recently played a course called Pan's Hangar near Welwyn Garden City, and they have a video camera looking down the 18th. Which catches your approach from around 200 yards out. They then have a screen in the bar on a 15-minute delay. So time to get your clubs in the car before heading up for a drink. All golfers can then watch their last few shots and imagine it's on real telly. I hit a lovely 5-wood to the back of the green, but unfortunately, 3-putted to the delight of those watching. Despite my embarrassment, I think it's a great feature, and I reckon a supersized version would go down well at Beef's Golf Club. I think this is a great idea.
Yeah, and I can't believe it's not more common, really, to have like a something by the green where you can either see your shot come in or sort of press a button to say, I want to see that. Like when you go on a roller coaster and you come off and there's the photos of everyone and you get to have it printed out. I the amount of people sort of involved in golf tech and shot tracers and all that sort of stuff, you would think it would have been installed on more courses, because you only need one static camera, or even like a camera that senses a ball. It must be doable, though. I have to say, that shot tracer that you see on YouTube videos, from bitter experience, the app that does it automatically is so buggy that I know for a fact that Rick Shields has someone whose sole job it is to hand draw those shot tracers, which are why his are so fancy and different colours and stuff. But they are an absolute ball ache.
I don't get it.
What do you mean you don't get it?
I don't want to see a mid-handicapper's ball flight squirm off and just sort of like hit the front edge of the green. And I was like, I know you fucking thin that. I know you thin that. Come on, don't be drawing them lines. And sometimes I can see the ball. It's gone way further left than you've drawn that line. Come on, I'm not that stupid.
There was a great one on Bad Golf where Alex hit a tree and we did the shot tracer all the way, the ball bouncing through the tree. I actually think they're better on bad shots because they're so funny. Like when you just see it skidding off straight.
What do you think about if you set up like the 18th hole, and obviously Beef's Golf Club, we're going to go to town on this, and you build like an absolute like 18th hole, would it be like a Sunday of a big tournament? So you'd have loads of cardboard cutouts and stands built so they look filled. Someone playing like crowd noise in there. Then you've got the camera that's like right by the tee box.
Yeah, I love that.
And then you've got, yeah, like rows and rows of cardboard cutouts and people, and then stands by the green and cameras. So it looks like you're playing every time the 18th. And then I think it'd make people really nervous, but it'd be a great experience.
Well, I loved when I went to the British Masters, so we played in the Pro-Am, and even with that, you have someone following you with like an iPad who marks all of the like scores, and then it shows up on a leaderboard, a massive like screen. So you could have, you know, your score up on the board, you know, what hole you're on and your score. And I didn't realize this, but it's obvious in retrospect, but when you're playing in a proper tournament, there are people going around marking all of the balls for the stats and for the sort of the graphics on the commentary and stuff. So the whole course is all these people going around, standing over balls, pressing iPads and pressing little machines in their hands and stuff. And that's how you get all that info about like average drive distances and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, unless you haven't been to a live event, you see when the cameras turn up and there can be 20, 30 people on the fairway that you never see.
It is mad when you see them. Basically, you see people hitting towards people, huge crowds of people, and you think, oh, I'd be so worried about hitting them.
Sometimes I look at it and like, are you sure? Are you sure you're standing there? And like the amount of times you have to sort of like edge people away and just say, no, 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 go further, further and stuff. And you're looking at the lie as well. And if it's a bit of an iffy lie and you're like, oh, yeah, I wouldn't stand there. No way.
We've had this from Jimmy Locos. He said, hi, guys, I think we need a coaching room at Beef's Golf Club where you can learn from the greats, past and present, like in Star Wars when old Jedis appear. Who would you both want to come back from the past and give you a lesson? Great question. Who would you have, Beef?
Oh, first one that comes to mind would be someone like Ben Hogan, because so many people have learnt off of him.
Is he the one who wrote Five Lessons?
Yeah, and everyone...
Yeah, I've got that.
Everyone talks about the way he swung the club. I remember you gave a nice shout out to Mo Norman. I think that would be quite interesting.
Yeah, that was who I was thinking. I would love to have a lesson from Mo Norman. If it was an on-course lesson, I think I'd want it from Seve.
Yeah, Seve.
So like, for all the difficult little delicate finesse shots around the green, how to sort of, you know, hit out of trouble. For all the sort of difficult shots, I'd want Seve. And then off a tee or off the fairway, I'd want Mo Norman.
Yeah, I love that. So there's three. I'll add Lee Trevino into that as well. I think if you want to be inspired by someone as well, he'd really get you in the mood to play golf. That's a great question.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Thomas Worthster says, can we get an unwanted club drop-off donation at the pro shop? Proceeds go to the junior section. That's a great idea. I mean, recently I said on the previous pod that my girlfriend's getting into golf and she lost a sand wedge and it wasn't handed in, annoyingly. Because there is sort of, you know, the unwritten rule is if you find a club, you hand it in at the pro shop at the end. And I think what happened was someone put it in their bag thinking I'll hand that in and then has forgotten at the end of the round, which is understandable. But there should be a thing like with lake balls. There should be a bag of sort of old clubs that people can grab if they've left one at home or if they lose one and need a replacement.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. Absolutely. Yeah, that'd be great to drop off clubs that people aren't going to use anymore and let others use them. Genius.
How many golf clubs have you got?
How many?
Yeah, do you own?
Not as many as you think. I've given them, I tend to give them away to friends or people. Even producer Ryan was looking, asking, oh, what should I buy? What wood should I get? Anything. So it's a nice little gift. He got a few woods in there. So I'd rather, yeah, share them out and give them to people.
Is it bad form to sell them if you've been given them for free?
Yes, I can personally do it. I couldn't personally do it.
We interviewed Rick Shields on Bad Golf, and he's got thousands of clubs, literally thousands.
Maybe he could he could donate some to your friend Tom as well.
Yeah, we should get Rick's bin in the shop. Every time Rick comes, he brings a set of clubs.
But what are you going to do with thousands of golf clubs?
I think it's similar to you. You sort of donate them to charity raffles. I think he gives quite a lot away. He sort of will help friends out. But you're talking probably tens, if not hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of golf clubs. But I don't think it's on to sell them when you're being sent them for sort of review purposes. So just has them, it's a bit like, I would imagine it looks a bit like, what's that that secondhand golf company? Golf Bidder. Have you ever seen in their, like, their showroom?
No, I've never seen it.
It's absolutely mad. It's just walls and walls and walls of iron sets and drivers and putters. Because you can actually go in to their showroom, I think. They've got like a store as opposed to just the online shop.
It is. Good. It's really good idea for juniors or especially like people, I know if they've like flown over for a few days and ended up having time to play and have brung their clubs and they could use a set to go around with as well. It'd be really helpful.
We've got a question here from Fiona Cousins. Hi, Beef and John. I recently went into a golf club pro shop to purchase my usual pre-round chocolate bar, expecting to find the usual selection, Mars, Snickers, Kit Kat Chunky. Instead, I found a near-empty rack of six compartments with only a picnic and a Mintero. I was shocked to my very core. However, this did get me thinking, what is the dream lineup of chocolate bars available in the pro shop at Beef's Golf Club? Great question. Go.
I would have chosen the picnic out of the Mintero.
Yeah, I think picnic is a perfect mid-round snack. You've got nuts, you've got raisins, you've got chocolate.
I would have gone Snickers would be in there. Twix.
This is where we differ. I want the picnic. I want a fruit and nut Yorkie. I want a Snickers. I don't want a Twix.
What? Twix is so good.
No, I always think a Twix is a little bit naff.
You've got to dunk it in tea. Then maybe that's what you're missing.
So yeah, I would have those three. Then I want something a little bit more flapjacky.
Flapjacky.
I want a flapjack with sort of with raisins in it.
But you're thinking about competing again, aren't you? And about like your sugar levels and all of this stuff.
Well, sugar is the issue because they've got these ones at my local club. They're sort of they're basically flapjacks, but they're marketed as some kind of protein health bar. 500 calories each.
500 calories.
Yeah, it's absolutely mad. 500 calories from a flapjack.
Yeah, see, if I'm going to eat a chocolate bar, I'm just going to eat a chocolate bar, knowing that it's not going to give me any help at all. A protein bar can do one as well. Have you tried? I tried a couple of protein bars in South Africa, and I was like, oh, maybe they'll be good. And it was like eating cement.
I like Fulfill protein bars, and I do always have them in the house. The only thing with protein bars is they're so expensive, and there's no difference really between what goes into a protein bar and what goes into a chocolate bar, but they're like £2 each minimum.
Ah, the taste nasty. How about Kinder Bueno?
I'll accept a Bueno.
Yes.
Yeah, I had a Kinder Bueno on the round I played at Denham, and it was very enjoyable.
Probably the worst nutritional snack you could probably have.
Yeah, it's just sort of foam, isn't it? Foam and air and sugar.
Sort of, you have to be so gentle opening that second little packet. Otherwise, that whole thing just crumbles into a million pieces. But they're incredible. What else would I have in there? Mini eggs. I'd have mini eggs immediately.
Seasonal. Can you get mini eggs all year round?
No, you can't. Oh, there might be some places that can. Mini eggs are amazing.
I'm more Malteser than mini egg.
Oh, no. I do like a Malteser as well.
Well, it's certainly food for thought. Let us know. Get in touch, beef@crowdnetwork.co.uk. If any sort of interesting snacks you've seen for sale in pro shops or on golf courses, I'd love to know what everyone's eating out there. But we've had a message from Stuart Barry. Beef, what's Stuart saying?
Stuart Barry says, can we get a few floating saunas in the ponds and water hazards at Beef's Golf Club, like in the fjords in Norway? What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are health and safety. I've seen people in the Thames, actually, in those sort of floating hot tub things on sort of like stag do's and stuff. I don't like heat. So I don't like being in hot water or in steam rooms or in saunas or anything like that. But I'm just thinking you're inevitably going to get cracked on the head, aren't you, if you're in one of the hazards? Because you're also drawing the eye of people on the tee, and you should never look at the hazard when you're on the tee because you're always going to end up going into it.
I know Chris Hughes put in some jacuzzis around the golf course. We could happily add saunas next to them. And I think it'd be really cool if you could get ones where you can't look in, but you can look out and have them round the golf course.
The Buckinghamshire golf course, which is a great course, has an onsen because it used to be, or maybe still is, owned by a Japan. No, I think it used to be owned by the people who own Asahi. So there's all this Japanese sort of stuff in the clubhouse, and they've got an onsen, which I think is like a Japanese hot tub kind of vibe.
I'm all for saunas. I take it you'd probably want an ice bath, John.
Yeah, ice bath for me over sauna. But I like that stuff in the clubhouse. I'm not sure about including it on the course.
I just think a couple of them, and then you can watch a bit of golf.
But who's going to a golf club to watch other people play golf? I mean, no one is doing that.
Don't you watch a lot of golf YouTube videos? Is it not the same thing?
Yeah, but I don't go to my local course and just sort of hang out on the seventh hole watching people.
No, you wouldn't go there. You'd play, and then you go, do you know what? I'm going to go in the sauna for a little bit.
No, not in the middle of the round. It's going to ruin everything, and it could slow play.
After your round.
Yeah.
After your round, you go in. I'm at the golf club. I might as well. I've got the option. Jump in the sauna for a little bit.
I think the golf course is for playing golf. This is similar to my approach to speakers. No. Drones, no. And we've had an awful additional idea from Seb Theo, who says, can we get some hot tubs filled with mayonnaise? What is that even about?
Why?
Why would you want a hot tub filled with mayonnaise? It's disgusting.
Why?
It would all separate. Hot mayonnaise is gross. Actually, I'm not a big fan of mayonnaise in general, but I don't understand the idea.
I want to answer that question with a question.
Mm.
Seb Theo, have you ever filled your bathtub up with mayonnaise before?
Mm. And I'm concerned that the reply would be yes. And it wouldn't be for comic relief.
We'll find out. We'll find out and see if he has. But that sounds absolutely gross.
Yeah, that's no good.
Alex James Day has suggested, this is a great suggestion, getting a churros machine in the clubhouse.
Love that. I don't think I've ever had a churros, but I have seen them.
You've never had one?
They're like sort of Play-Doh donuts, aren't they? Like when you press Play-Doh. You remember those Play-Doh things sets you used to get as a kid where you'd press it down, it would come out in a certain shape?
It's great. And usually they come with chocolate sauce. Really good.
Yeah, I'm more of a savoury guy, but maybe a churros after we've hit the kebab button. Just to sort of, I say I'm a savoury guy. I've eaten so many Easter eggs. It's absolutely disgusting. It's a disgrace. I can't have them in the house. I can't have anything sweet in the house.
Well, how many have you eaten?
Four and then some multiple bags of mini eggs. I've got one here. Still eating that one.
Have you gone out and bought all the Easter eggs, or has actually someone, have you been given them?
Little from column A, little from column B. They're so cheap, though. In my local Tesco, you can get a mini eggs Easter egg for £1.20. Of course I'm whacking that in the basket.
Is that like the after Easter sale? Was?
No, that was pre-Easter.
Whoa. That's incredible.
Deb Miller says, can we get a valet service for your golf trolley? Oh, yes, please. So that whilst you're in the clubhouse after your round, you can pay for someone to clean and polish your clubs, trolley and shoes after a muddy round. Yes, yes, yes.
Absolute no-brainer.
That is the best idea we've ever had.
I'd see if the juniors want to do it. Make a bit of pocket money.
That's a great idea, because I've got one of those Stuart Golf push trolleys, which is fantastic. But when you are playing in mud, it gets everywhere and it's on your clubs and it's on your shoes. And it's a horrible way to finish a round of golf. Although we do have a boot buddy, which are great. Have you got a boot buddy?
What is that?
I'll show you. Hang on.
A boot buddy.
This beef is a boot buddy.
I generally thought you were just going to come back with a big bag you put your trolley in.
No, so it's like, I guess it looks a bit like a curved water bottle with a brush at one end. And you fill it with water. It's got, It looks a bit like a sort of a whale, I suppose. It's got, imagine the sort of fin at the back of the whale. That's for sort of scraping out mud. And then it's got a brush and you turn it and then the water comes out through the brush. So you can use it to wash your shoes. It's great. I've got a feeling they might have been on Dragon's Den.
Oh, that is a good idea.
But I want someone else using the Boot Buddy on my boots.
Ah, yeah, it's an absolute no-brainer. Finish a round, no-brainer. I think you should reach out to Boot Buddy, John.
Should I reach out to our friends at Boot Buddy?
Yeah, and see if we can get them to sponsor a hole.
Yes, at the Beefstock 2, we should get a Boot Buddy rep. I'm now going to go on the website and see what other stuff they've got.
Yeah, that's very clever.
They've just released Boot Buddy 3.0. Oh, I'm spinning the Boot Buddy wheel. What do I get? Oh, no. I have to put your email address in. No, thanks. But you can use it. It's not just for golf. It's for like hiking, football, running, that sort of thing. Good stuff. Well, we've got one more email. And if you want to send in your emails, it's beef@crowdnetwork.co.uk. Beef, it's from, I'll let you pronounce the name.
I was going to do the same thing. This is the final message from Don Palodichuk. Palodichuk. Don Palodichuk. I hope I've pronounced that. Somewhere near that. Hi, Beef and John. I have found myself wondering recently, what criteria does a golf club need to meet to be designated as royal? Whatever it is, I say we do it. Royal Beef's Golf Club.
Well, wow. Royal Beef's Golf Club. I don't mind that. It's a very interesting question. I've played at a few royal golf clubs. I've played at Royal Liverpool. You must have played at Royal Litherman St. Anne's and Birkdale.
Yeah.
I think that's a lie. Wikipedia tells me that to receive the honour of royal, a golf club would normally invite a member of the royal family to be a patron or an honorary member, or they apply for the title, which is granted from the reigning monarch. And there's a list. So I think the first royal golf club was Royal Perth, which was granted by William the Fourth in 1833, and then St Andrews, which was formerly the Royal Society of St Andrews Golfers, was granted the status 1 year later in 1834. Then Victoria granted a load, Edward the Seventh, Queen Elizabeth granted status to lots of sort of golf clubs in the Commonwealth.
I think if we've got any chance of getting a royal, you need to do it, John.
Do you reckon?
I think I'd just, yeah, as soon as I write an email and they see how bad my English is, or even if I speak to someone on the phone, they're just going to bat me off straight away. I think it has to be you.
Yes, I would write, Dear Sir Royal Sir Captain, the Right Venerable Highness and Honourable Member of the Garter, Charles, with all that sort of stuff. Yeah, maybe if any listeners have links to the royal household, we could ask for Beef's Golf Club to be granted royal status.
Oh, it's got to happen. Imagine being the first imaginary royal golf club.
We're going to have to get the place cleaned up pretty soon, though, if we're going to get His Highness coming to visit, or William. Perhaps.
Yeah, there's a few things we may need to add or take out. Maybe the kebab button.
I'm sure Charles likes a kebab when he's kicking back and watching The Crown.
It'd be great. Imagine that. We get some royals in there, some monarchs, and one of them orders Carling.
Ah, yes. They're going straight down. Thanks so much for listening, folks. We'll be back with you very soon. And do get in touch, beef@crowdnetwork.co.uk, with your ideas for the club or any things that have happened to you recently. If you're trying to break 100, or you have broken 100 for the first time, let us know, because the Beef 100 Club is alive and kicking again. And we'll see you very soon.
Bye, guys.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.